And this is The Source on KSTX, a product of the Texas Public Radio Newsroom. I'm David Martin Davies. The first step in setting goals is to know what you want to accomplish. You've got to establish where you want to go. Then you figure out how you're going to get there, what actions are needed. And then you've got to measure your success or failure and figure out what in your approach needs to change to get you closer to those goals. That's what's happening in San Antonio. The city has set a set of goals for in the SA 2020 public meetings that we had not that long ago. And we're trying to change the city into being a more prosperous community with higher quality of life for all. But a recent report card was issued for SA 2020, and maybe things aren't as hot as we wanted. We were finding out that it's not so easy to change a city and to change our trajectory on some issues. We're going to have a conversation right now about SA 2020, about the goals we set and how we're doing so far. Give us a call. The number is 614-8980. You could also email your questions and comments to thesource@tpr.org and go to the comments section on our website at tpr.org. And our guest this half hour, we have Daryl Bird. He's the CEO of SA 2020. Welcome, Daryl.
Thank you.
And later we hope to hear from Jonathan Rothwell. He's a researcher at the Brookings Institute talking about how San Antonio is doing with STEM jobs. It's something that's very important with SA 2020. These are high-paying, clean jobs that we want to bring to the city. But let me ask you, Daryl, first about the report card for SA 2020. How did we do? Are we doing okay?
Well, we're doing great in terms of, for the first time, understanding, getting a good sense on where we are relative to where we wish to be. Now, when you break it down across the 65 some odd measures of success that thousands of San Antonians establish for our future, you know, there's a good news story and there's a story of challenges ahead. So some areas we have met and already exceeded our SA 2020 goals, and then there are others that where we are on track to achieve those goals. There are others where we are off target. And some of those were off target significantly. And then there are others where we need to take a hard look at what we are measuring itself and making sure that those measures are solid measures and that when we achieve them, they add up to what we really want going into the year 2020.
So SA 2020, there were lots of different areas. We wanted to increase literacy. We wanted to increase per capita income. We wanted to improve public transportation, and prosperity, and reduce poverty in San Antonio. That was a big one. And some of these areas like poverty and per capita income, that's where we've seen some problems. It's not as going as smoothly as we had hoped.
Right. And let me back up in time just briefly,
sure.
Dave, for a little bit of context. SA 2020 is a very bold initiative, again, set by thousands of San Antonians themselves for the future, you know, in a 10-year span. And essentially what those thousands of San Antonians said they wanted was for San Antonio to, without dispute, take its place among the nation's great cities. So for that not to be just talk, there's going to have to be some serious work done between today, going back to year 2020 and the year 2010 and the year 2020. And if you look at some of the specific measures of success that those thousands of San Antonians came up with, we realize that holding steady or just maintaining or not losing ground is not good enough based on what we really want. Poverty rates, per capita income, those are among those very, very difficult metrics to change. And it's going to take a relatively long period of time. 10 years may not be enough to get ultimately where we want to go, but bold, long steps are necessary to get there. So not a bad thing to know that we're not exactly where we wish to be at this point in time.
Okay, we're going to go to the phones. The number to call to join the conversation, 614-8980. Robert wants to join us. And Robert, welcome to The Source.
Hello. I had a question for the SA 2020, and I was interested to see if you guys use geodata to kind of track trends in the community and see where the biggest problems are, or if you kind of direct your efforts more on a blanket basis of just census data you guys receive.
Thank you, Robert, for that question, and kind of explain what he means, if you, because I don't, he's, it's just kind of technical.
Well, I'm going to do my best. Thank you, Robert, for the question. Thanks for calling in. The geodata, I presume you're referring to being able to actually geocode what's actually happening with certain some of the data that we're receiving. For instance, seeing where pockets of poverty are in the city of San Antonio, basically looking at the aggregate across the entire community. Where are we doing better with incomes versus where are parts of the community where that may continue to struggle or may need more specific focuses?
Okay, we lost a call. So I think he's saying the question is, you know, there are pockets of San Antonio that can be doing really well and then other pockets that can be doing really bad, even worse, relatively to how well other areas are doing. So
right.
It's kind of hard to get a average of how well per capita income may be doing across the city. Of course, it's a great, you know, where some people may be prospering and other people are just falling off the economic cliff.
Right, exactly. And to also specifically answer his question, today the SA 2020 progress report does not specifically get into geographic data. That's the next step for us, and it's something we're very excited about with the second phase or the second year of our study. We're going to talk in September of this year about refinements and how we collect the data, what it tells us, the interpretation of the data according to what the overall goals are. So I am optimistic and excited about that phase because that will get to a more neighborhood or community specific analysis of the data, Robert.
But if we're looking for ways to increase the average per capita income, then would probably make more sense to help more people out of poverty than it is to bring more people into the upper echelon of great wealth.
Well, that's a great point. There are a number of strategies that you're going to have to employ to get at this one and to make any material gains there. So it's not just increasing the number of jobs coming into San Antonio. It's about the folks who remain stubbornly at the bottom when it comes to per capita income. And that's probably a much greater problem to solve than
the people who are living well below the poverty line. And if we can figure out a way to break that cycle of poverty, at least get them into middle income, that you'll see greater results there.
Right, because that actually creates a trajectory and a positive momentum for their future career. And it also creates maybe an opportunity within the community, within their families, to create a situation where you break that cycle and you no longer have a grandfather whose son and grandchild have remained in that same situation. So that is going to be a very, very difficult challenge for us to face, and we're not going to really be able to get at it until we, using the data, understand the difference between where we are today and where we wish to be.
Okay, we're talking to Darryl Byrd. He's the CEO of SA 2020. We're talking about the recent report card that was issued for SA 2020. We're seeing that some areas of the 65 areas that they've targeted for San Antonio, some of them are doing really well, but there are 16 of them that are still not on track. We're going to talk more about that when we come back from the break. This is The Source on KSTX. And this is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about SA 2020, a number of goals set for San Antonio. Recent report card put out showing that many of these goals still have a long way to go. With me in the studio to talk about that is Darryl Byrd, the CEO of SA 2020. And also now joining me on the line is Jonathan Rothwell of the Brookings Institute. They issued a report today saying that San Antonio is not doing as well with STEM jobs. And these are areas in the science and technology, engineering, mathematics that we would hope. And so welcome to The Source, Jonathan.
Thanks for having me.
So how did San Antonio do on this study?
Well, we found that they ranked 76 out of the 100 largest metropolitan areas on the percentage of workers in the economy that are working in a STEM occupation. And that percentage is 18.4% compared to 20% of all workers. And if those numbers sound particularly large, it's because we introduced a new definition of what STEM workers are that is a bit more expansive than the previous definition.
Okay, so San Antonio wants to have more STEM jobs. You're showing that based on how we're doing compared to other cities, we've got a long way to go. Do STEM jobs, when you have like a cluster of them in one community, I guess, I don't know if you can answer this or not, do they generate more STEM jobs? It's better to have a critical mass of these types of jobs.
That does often happen, and there's a few different reasons why. In some cases, it could be the presence of a great research university or a couple great research universities that are not only turning out new STEM students, but are also leading to the development of new companies through the entrepreneurship of graduates or of the professors themselves who might be inventing new technologies. You might think of Stanford or MIT spurring a number of new tech startups. So there's that dynamic, and in that sense, the critical mass builds on top of each other. But also, companies are attracted to places that have a lot of STEM workers to take advantage of that talent pool. So that's another way that there's sort of a positive feedback loop.
And so by having a Tier 1 university in the city, then you would be able to have a STEM job factory, so to speak.
Yeah, that's right.
And so, according to your report, San Antonio ranking near the bottom of cities with a lot of STEM jobs. What's the big attraction? Why do we want to have STEM jobs?
Well, and there are a number of reasons. One, STEM workers are the most likely to invent new technologies. 88% of all patents in the U.S., according to a recent survey, were done by people trained in STEM fields. And another way to look at this is a lot of the tech startups are founded by people with STEM knowledge and STEM degrees. And beyond that entrepreneurship and innovation metrics, their STEM workers are doing basic science that can be used in a variety of different applications in terms of starting new businesses or inspiring new technologies.
And so nationwide, are STEM jobs growing? Are we seeing a bigger number of STEM jobs across the country?
Yes, they've been growing. Really throughout the 20th century, there's a very long-term trend towards more and more STEM workers as the U.S. moved from an agrarian economy to an industrial economy and now to a mix of industry and services. And it looks like the demand for STEM skills will continue to grow. The fastest growth has been in computer and math-related knowledge and IT and tech-related jobs, but there's still a lot of demand for engineers and scientists as well.
Okay, well, I'm going to go to the phones, and I'm going to bring Rick in on this conversation. Rick, you've been waiting patiently. Welcome to The Source.
Hey, and I didn't know Jonathan from the Brookings Institute was going to be here, so I have a question for you as well, sir. But I guess what's interesting, though, is that the United States has been struggling just to create jobs, period, and most of the jobs that have been created, it's been noted that they're low-paying jobs. And right now, Americans work about 34 hours a week on average. That's one of the highest in the industrial world. So how do you create a job that guarantees benefits and they're not these starvation wages kind of jobs? And then, you know, as an educator myself, I actually read a research study done by Brookings Institute that Joseph Stiglitz used in his book, The Price of Inequality, and he said that, well, the Brookings study said that if you split up the population into quintiles of income, the bottom fifth, the lowest of the low, only 58% actually move up. 42% stay at the bottom. So there's this huge problem with inequality going on in the United States, and how can we just target San Antonio and help out our situation when it seems like it's a structural problem all over the United States? And again, thank you for your question.
All right, Rick, thank you for that call. So we got a couple of questions. So the first thing was, how do we get jobs to San Antonio that are out of the starvation wage bracket, you know, where people can have a living income? And STEM jobs are jobs that generally pay well, right? Is that right, Daryl?
They are. So
Let me get Daryl Burden on this. He's from SA 2020.
Okay, sure.
Well, I'm sure Jonathan's more of an expert on this than me, but just my understanding and actually reading some of Jonathan's earlier work, STEM jobs do demand a higher premium. Now, and there's even a question if Americans are even getting the premium versus folks who are coming in from other countries taking advantage of visas and satisfying some of the huge demand that there is for unmet demand that there is for some STEM jobs. But the bottom line is STEM jobs do carry a greater premium if you're talking about college degree STEM jobs or two-year or tech STEM jobs. They all carry a premium versus the relative equal education requirements of other jobs.
But the entry cost to get into one of these jobs, it requires, you know, going to school, going to a good school, studying well, going to getting higher education, doing well in that area. There's a lot of competition for these jobs. So there's an upfront cost to creating STEM jobs. Is that right, Jonathan?
That's true for the STEM jobs at the highest end, for the research scientists and those types of jobs. But one of the things we really want to stress in this new report that we've done is that 50% of all STEM jobs require just an associate's degree or less education. And so the entry requirements there are not as severe. Someone can go get a certification and become an electrician or a nurse or some other technical trade and still earn a very good wage. So in the San Antonio metropolitan area, we calculated that the average STEM worker in an occupation that requires only an associate's degree or less can earn $49,000 on average compared to $30,000 on average for other occupations outside of STEM fields that require an associate's degree or less. So to me, the important point in overcoming inequality and getting more people into decent paying jobs is to upgrade their skills and offer them a career pathway that involves either some combination of on-the-job training, increased experience, or post-secondary education.
So for Daryl Byrd, I mean, that means partnering up with education institutions. San Antonio is very fortunate to have a very good community college system across the city. And right. And so that's a way to go to try and make changes?
Absolutely. That's a big piece of the puzzle. And Jonathan's really touching on a key point here. His recent study showing that just under 53% of all the almost 150,000 STEM-related jobs in San Antonio do fall into that category of requiring an associate's degree or less. So he's correct. They're not just bachelor's degrees and above. Now, there's a pathway that needs to be created to get even to that point. And, you know, I am proud to say that while we're not nearly where we wish to be going into the next decade, San Antonio has some areas that where we're shining. The Alamo Colleges are leading in this area, along with others in creating pathways with local key industry sectors like our advanced manufacturing sector, Toyota manufacturing, some of the aerospace industries in San Antonio are creating work training programs for folks coming in high school, coming out of high school, that may cap out post or pre-job beginning before you actually get to the bachelor's level, but are creating great opportunity from an income perspective.
So, Jonathan, looking at the report you gave, which is basically another report card for SA 2020, should we be, despondent that San Antonio is not higher on this list?
Well, no, not necessarily, especially if that doesn't inspire action. I think the message should be that San Antonio could bring more people in line and to be ready and prepared to work in these sorts of career fields. But at the same time, the demand might also need to pick up. So companies may need to be created in the San Antonio area to get more job openings in these STEM fields or attracted to the area. Both things need to happen. It's not all on the educators. There also has to be some demand. So
how much of this is getting your word out there and marketing your city as a STEM magnet? Does it help to have a championship NBA team? Does that help? So, Jonathan, is that a part of the equation?
Yeah, it could certainly help in recruiting, especially foreign companies that may want to locate in the United States and open up a factory like a Samsung or a Honda. From that perspective, offering those sort of cultural amenities could be a good thing. But I think the bigger sell will be the more basics. Like, do you have a workforce that companies are going to want to take advantage of? Or do you have the sorts of institutions that are going to be willing to work with the company to design on-the-job training programs that may interact with the community colleges to provide the full range of skills that workers need?
So let me get Daryl Burt, we're running out of time, so I want to give him last word. So where we need to be? Where are we going?
Well, specific to this STEM jobs conversation, because it is critical to San Antonio's future economic competitiveness, we've got to make sure that the things that we do, the execution of strategies, actually add up to where we want to go, which is increased activity in targeted industry sectors, which are STEM-related on balance in San Antonio. The Tier 1 university conversation is a real one that will generate extraordinary momentum for us, because it essentially turns San Antonio into a net producer of STEM-related talent, which does do the things that Jonathan was speaking to, create a critical mass of bringing industry to San Antonio, creating innovation that creates a gravity coming into San Antonio.
All right. I want to thank Jonathan Rothwell, Brookings Institute report on STEM jobs and where San Antonio ranks in the nation. Daryl Byrd, the CEO of SA 2020, talking about what needs to be done to create more high-paying job and raise our capital income, lower poverty in San Antonio. This is The Source on KSTX. We'll be right back.